So you've probably heard the term information overload before. It's something that's come up for, honestly, at this point, probably decades. It's something people were worried about with the rise of the internet, in that we would just get flooded with raw data into our brains just because of how accessible it would become and easy to feed at us, whether it was something we were looking for or not. And, you know, early on, I don't think those fears were really all that well founded, right? Like the internet, when it was a newer thing, and I'm talking in like the 90s, early 2000s, generally you had to actively seek out information, right? You had to go find it, and it had to be a conscious effort on your part as to what you were trying to find. So yes, there was an increasing amount of information out there, whether that's reference material or, you know, news topics or whatever, but you were in full control of how you sought out and ingested all that information. I think there's been a big shift in the past few years, and what's interesting is how the internet has changed, especially just even within the last year or so, I think is maybe going to have an effect to actually kind of reverse the trend. We made a change at some point, probably in the 2010s, I'd say, with the rise of social media, where instead of you having to go out and actively seek information you were looking for, an increasing amount of it just kind of came to you, right? Like, at one extreme end of it, you've got doom scrolling, where you're just flipping through, you know, Twitter, Instagram, or whatever, just kind of taking in the fire hose of whatever it wanted to feed at you, whatever people on the internet were complaining about that day or worried about, or, you know, the latest memes or trending things. You know, on one end, it would just kind of come at you. But even if you didn't have that habit, you would still end up ingesting information that you didn't look for, right? You know, even as simple as trying to go to a website to read the news. You know, local news has changed too in a dramatic way from the way it used to be. Like when you read a paper newspaper, you had very specific sections. You know, like you'd have the front page section, the A section, which would generally be the most important local news and world news, and then maybe the B section would be business and C would be sports or whatever, right? So you had some control over getting that information you were looking for, even if you couldn't focus in specifically on one thing, right? Just by scanning the headlines, you'd see stories about stuff that you maybe weren't interested in, but you could at least take entire sections out that you didn't care about. So like back when I actually subscribed to a paper newspaper, I don't really care about sports, so I would never even bother to read that section. So I would be, you know, what some people would call blissfully ignorant about what was going on in the sports world. So I paid it no mind because I would just take that section and put it right in the recycle bin because I didn't care. These days, though, like you look at news sites and all that stuff kind of gets jumbled together. So the top stories of all the sections are right there on the main page, and you have no hope but to scroll past them to get to other information that you want. And I really feel like that is kind of the crux of the fears of information overload actually coming to fruition, right? Where we're just getting bombarded by all this stuff, and, you know, mentally it's kind of extra baggage, right? Like with doom scrolling, it's a self-perpetuating cycle. And you've got all this extra stuff that's coming at you that you maybe don't want to see, but you're seeing it anyway because you have to read it in order to process that's not something I'm interested and move on. But it's still there. By no means am I trying to suggest that we should silo ourselves just into the information that we want to see. But at the same time, there is a point where something is just too much. And I relatively recently got to that point. I realized that I was spending too much time on social media. I realized that I was spending too much time paying attention to information that frankly just didn't matter. It's kind of like the information equivalent of junk food. Here's a great example. I don't really participate in Reddit, but there were a few subreddits that I would check on a daily basis. Ever since I was a little kid, I would always read in bed before falling asleep, right? I'd get in bed and I'd grab a book or a magazine or something and sit there and read for half an hour to an hour before turning the light off and falling asleep. Apple introduced the iPad, and I immediately gravitated towards it because, you know, ebooks and information and, you know, it'd be a lot more convenient instead of this, you know, pile of books and magazines on the side of the bed. Now I've got one device. And of course, I could use the iPad for other stuff during the day, too. So as soon as I bought my first iPad, immediately that became the way that I would read in bed before falling asleep. It started out as books and a few blogs that I was really interested in. Hackaday is one of them, right? So I'm at that point still in kind of full control over the information that I'm reading, I'm seeking out. But eventually it kind of turned into a larger collection of websites that I would check on a nightly basis just to keep up. They would still be, you know, topical, but that collection grew. And I noticed over time, of course, in hindsight, that as that collection of site grew, the amount of time that I spent reading books decreased. Eventually, it turned into me downloading the app Apollo, which was a very popular Reddit, you know, reading app, third party, and found a few subreddits that I liked to scroll through. And so I would, you know, in addition to some of those sites that I would check, I would also fire up Apollo and scroll through those few subs. Eventually, I got to the point where that's all I did for my nightly reading. I stopped reading books. And I was okay with it because it came on so gradually, right? And I justified it with, well, you know, there really haven't been any books that I'm interested in lately and blah, 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 right? Excuses. What I've found is, in some ways, I think the information industry on the internet, for lack of a better term, is actually kind of turning on itself. It's finally going a bit too far. One thing that's majorly changed for me now is I'm actually reading books before I fall asleep again. Why did that happen? Well, Reddit decided to kill off, for the most part, its third-party APIs. So apps like Apollo ended up having to shut down. And yes, I could have replaced Apollo with the official Reddit app, but all of that drama of Reddit wanting to, you know, increase its monetization, basically is what they wanted to do, really got me thinking about, like, why am I supporting a company that is being actively hostile to the people who want to use it, right? Like, basically just saying, yeah, you're a bunch of freeloaders. We want to make more money off of you. That's kind of a familiar topic since we talked about freeloaders and trying to make money off of people who contribute to your product for free, right? So, you know, that got me thinking about Reddit, and it's like, are those particular subreddits really of any substantial value to me as a human? And I realized that the majority of them, no, they didn't. There are a few subs out there that I will still check on a daily basis, but during the day, and they're very specific ones related to technology because they can help me out professionally. Right, like with my day job or with YouTube or whatever, just to keep on top of what's going on, or if I have a question about a topic, you know, oftentimes it's been answered in a Reddit thread, seeing where the industry is going, that sort of thing. You know, I'm very tightly curating that, but these kind of junk food, so to speak, subs that I used to browse at night, I just cut them out completely. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to uninstall Apollo. I'm never going to install the Reddit app again on my iPad. And that time that I spent, I'm putting back into reading books. So now there's really only three or four websites that I check at night. Hackaday is still one of them. And the rest of the time, I fire up the Books app and I read. And honestly, I feel a lot better for it. Not necessarily because I'm taking better control over that information overload, so to speak, but rather because now I'm actually engaging the creative part of my brain again. Obviously, I do that as part of, you know, creating videos on YouTube, but it's a different kind of thing when you're actively like creating a visual media like that versus reading a book. I've always enjoyed reading a book and letting my mind kind of visually fill in the gaps, right? The book describes a scene. Well, what does that scene actually look like? I've always enjoyed having my mind kind of fill in what that scene looks like. You know, maybe it talks about, you know, a character standing out in a field somewhere with a, you know, the mountain range behind them. What does that actually look like? I like to kind of come up with that in my mind and engage my imagination to fill in the gaps where the commentary leaves out. And it's also given me a chance not just to check out new books that I haven't read, but also revisit ones that I haven't read in a long time. Right now, I'm working through the entirety of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's a story that I love. And I actually really like the movie. There was that movie from, I don't know, what was it, 15 years ago or so, that came out, and unfortunately it flopped in the theaters, but I think it did a pretty good job. And I was always a big fan of the radio series and the BBC television series from the 80s. But the book is one of those things where, you know, if you see all those other versions, it's great. They tell a good story to various levels of detail, right? Obviously, the radio series goes into more detail than the movie because the movie compressed a lot of the story into like an hour and a half. But the book goes into so much more detail and fills in that story more than those other versions did. And I had forgotten about a lot of that because it's been probably 10, 15 years since I last read the actual book version of Hitchhikers. And I'm reading it again now going, damn, this is a really good book. How did I forget how good this was? Just with the subtle humor built into it and the details, and also just the creativity that Douglas Adams put into the story. Like, how did a human come up with something this clever and this repeatably clever? It's just clever over and over and over and over again as you read throughout this book. And so that's what's really making me feel good about having cut out some of that kind of junk food information. As much as it was satisfying to read in some ways, in that kind of quick dopamine hit type of thing, which is what really propels us on social media, it's kind of like short game versus long game, right? Quick, short interactions make you feel good for the most part, you know, satisfy that craving in the immediate need. Whereas reading books, really, if you've got the patience for it, you know, it's a lot more satisfying in the long term. And what I'm hopeful, in a weird way, is that with all the shenanigans we're seeing with how social media works, that it may actually propel other people to do the same thing. And that information overload that society is currently experiencing may kind of start to turn. The biggest thing now, past, since we're not completely past all of the Reddit shenanigans, but the biggest thing now is all the battle of the different social media platforms, right? So I've talked ad nauseum about what's going on with Twitter, and Instagram is, of course, its own thing. But you've also got Mastodon, and you've got Blue Sky, and you've got Hive Social, which kind of never took off. But now you've also got Meta's Threads, which is basically Instagram users doing a Twitter kind of a thing. And I see a lot of people complaining about all of it now, right? Like, one of my favorite threads that I saw on Blue Sky is someone saying that instead of having one Twitter, we have like five Twitters now and nobody likes any of them. right? It's a really interesting thing. I have a feeling, at least I have a hope, that people are going to start going down kind of the same path that I've been starting to go down and realizing that, you know what, it's just too much. It really is too much. And if you're expected to keep up with all of the different social media platforms now and give them the same amount of attention, that's just unsustainable, right? When it was just Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, that was a lot, but it was manageable, you know, if you curated your feed. Now that we've got all this other stuff competing for our attention, and some people are on some platforms and not others. Some people are on all the platforms, but they're putting different content on all the platforms, right? They're not just like, you know, between, say, Twitter and Mastodon and Blue Sky and Threads, you know, a select number of people are basically just going to post the exact same thing to all four. But some people are like, I'm going to put unique content on each one. So now you've got to check all that if you really are interested in following that person and what they have to say about stuff. I'm not going to do that. I installed the Threads app as soon as it launched, and I got my account set up, and I took one look at that platform, and it was all ads and celebrities and brands, and none of it was information that I was interested in. Absolutely none. And this is coming from a company where I've already got an Instagram account. I've already got an established group of people that I follow on Instagram. And it feeds me content related to those people's posts. So it knows my demographic. It knows what it should be feeding me in terms of interesting information. But it's just not doing it. And so I decided, you know what? I'm just not dealing with Threads. My account is going to sit out there. I refuse to use it. I got rid of the app. I'm cutting back on the rest of my social media use as well, just because it's too much, right? You know, I will still continue to post, but I'm not going to be on there all day because I just can't afford to. And I don't think a lot of other people have the time or mental bandwidth, so to speak, to devote that much effort to social media in their lives. And I'm hoping that the people saying, you know, we've got five Twitters now and we don't like any of them, I hope they're taking a hard look at that and not just using it as some sort of joke, but using it as an opportunity to reflect, like, what is the point of this? Right? Like, frankly, a lot of what's going on social media these days is just shit posting. It's just people trying to be funny, make jokes. I mean, that's what 90% of Blue Sky is. What I've seen so far, at least, is people just dunking on Twitter. Like, there's the topic du jour, and everyone just has a hot take on it to try to be funny. And honestly, that's what pretty much every other social media platform has become. There's a decreasing amount of useful information out there. And I'm just kind of done with it. So I'm hopeful that other people will kind of take a look at the internet as it is, and how it's gone from being this amazing thing, like in the 90s and 2000s, where people ran websites and posted information that was useful. And you could curate what you wanted to see, and you could search for a topic and find relevant information about that. And how now it's basically just become a way for companies to make money. And if it isn't monetizable content, then it gets deprioritized or scrubbed from the internet entirely. I hope people are taking a hard look at that and reflecting on it and going, you know, am I contributing to this problem? Am I doing anything to counteract it? Because the only way to counteract it is to decrease the engagement so that the companies kind of get the clear message that they're doing the wrong thing. They know about all the analytics. They know what people are looking at. If you make a clear statement to them, no, I don't want to look at this anymore. Stop feeding me this garbage. Give me the information that I want. Well, then maybe we'll have a chance at, you know, taking back the internet. And, you know, the whole information overload and kind of pandering to short attention spans, it's something that I've been kind of antagonizing about in other ways. So you may have noticed that at the beginning of 2023, I made two major changes to my videos. The first is I got rid of the, hey everyone, it's Colin, how's it going? At the beginning of episodes. I found it a bit superfluous. I also found that it was getting annoying to have people say, you know, jokes in the comments. Hey, Colin, it's blah, blah, blah. How are you doing? You know, or whatever, right? Some people found it annoying and complained. And I just decided, you know what? Let's just cut that out. People have short enough attention spans as it is. We need to get into the content. So now it's just a cold open straight into the video. The other thing that I cut out at the end, and this was more of an experiment, is YouTube calls these the call to action. It's where you see it at the end of practically every YouTube video. You know, if you like the video, give me a thumbs up and be sure to subscribe and follow me on social media and click here, you know, to watch my next video and ring the bell and da-da-da-da-da and all that to drive engagement. And YouTube says, you know, their official guidance is you should put a call to action in on your videos. I'm like, you know what? It's 2023. I don't know if that's relevant information anymore, because everyone at this point should know how YouTube works. It's not like I've got 2-year-olds watching my videos, you know, where YouTube is a brand new thing to them. My demographic generally skews between people in their teenage years up until about, you know, 40 or so. And that's a generation of people who know how YouTube works because they've probably been watching it for a while. So I decided, you know what, let's cut that out too. And let's just let the end screen speak for itself. You know, there's a video there that you can click on to watch if you want to watch another one of mine. I've got my Patreon card there, and I've got my card for subscribing. I was actually really surprised. It didn't make a difference at the beginning. It really didn't. I didn't see any noticeable change in views or subscribers or watch time or anything like that. But what I'm now realizing 6+ months in is it actually is having an impact. My views have been cut in half. My monthly subscribers rate of increase has cut in half over the last 6 months. There's a very clear downward trend looking at the analytics. And I'm wondering why. I'm genuinely a little bit baffled that cutting out the call to action is having that impact, but it clearly is. And I can only assume that people just need that reminder, which is kind of surprising. But at the same time, maybe people aren't really paying as much attention as I thought they were. And that could be another interesting aspect to the whole, you know, information overload thing. I'm starting to wonder if, because we've been overloaded with information for so long, our minds have become a lot more selective in what it really ingests and pays attention to. Instead of giving our full attention to everything that we see and come across, we instead have developed this habit where we can just quick glance at everything and, like, just consciously ignore anything that doesn't really catch our eye, which is both good and bad. I mean, it's a good skill to have, to be able to skim through information and have what you're looking for really kind of jump out at you and catch your attention. At the same time, it's kind of bad because now the information that needs to catch your attention has to stand out even harder. And that's something else that I've been struggling with, I think, is in that engagement space, the thumbnail and the title of the video has become even more important in order to get people to want to watch it and to get YouTube to promote it. The only real way to get massive growth on YouTube, or at least reasonable growth on YouTube, is to have YouTube recommend your video to viewers. Because only a relatively small percentage of views are going to be coming from your own subscribers. And even within your subscribers, not everyone's going to want to watch a particular video, right? It may not be a topic that's interesting to them, so they skip it. Well, if you've got some of your subscribers not watching your videos, and YouTube not promoting your videos to a wider audience of non-subscribers, you are not going to see growth. You are not going to get eyeballs on that information. And I've talked about this before. Remember, I'm not in this for the money. I do feel that anyone creating content should get paid fairly for their work because it does take a lot of effort. But really, for me, all I just want is to have my work be worth it. To have that effort that I put into go to as wide of an audience as possible. So that's the thing that I've also been struggling with is you may have noticed that I hate to use the term clickbaity, but I kind of have to go down that path of creating a little bit more clickbaity type thumbnails and video titles in order to drive that engagement. I'm not going to let that affect how I create videos. The content of the video is not going to be clickbaity. I'm not going to promise something in the title or the thumbnail that is just blatantly not true in the video. But, you know, what some people, I think a better term is maybe clickable thumbnails and titles. I've had to experiment with those more, you know, stuff that's more visually engaging. That isn't just matter of fact, here's the product, here's a, you know, a catchy title, you know, watch the video. Now it's got to have something a bit more compelling to get you curious about, well, what does that thumbnail really mean? What is that about? Instead of being so matter of fact, here's what the video is about. Now it's got to be more kind of driving intrigue to make you curious, to get you to click. And if the entirety of the internet has to go that way, then does any of the information really matter? Like, how do you separate out what you're interested in versus what you're not? If all of it is trying to be as compelling and clickable as possible, then in effect, I guess none of it really is, right? Like, it's all just going to kind of get mashed together. I'm hoping that we can eventually get this all sorted out. I'm hoping that people will get to a point where they realize, you know what, this is not sustainable for one reason or another, either due to attention span or the amount of time that they have to invest in it, or even just mental fatigue, you know, just tired of having to scroll through so much crap to try and find what you're looking for. And having all of this just meaningless drivel being pushed at you in the meantime. I'm hoping we can get there. The pessimist in me is kind of feeling like, you know what, future generations will just adapt. And that's just the way humanity is going to work going forward. And I think to a small extent, that's kind of going to be true. But I'm still holding out hope. I'm holding out hope that books, you know, and deeper information, you know, something more long-term satisfying will eventually catch hold on people again. And we'll get a real backlash to these companies that just want to try and make as much money as possible by selling us just junk food info. And maybe we can really turn around the whole information overload thing and get the internet back to a saner and more satisfying place. As always, thanks for listening.